Investment flash.
Oil ripped through $90 last session. Long bonds bled again, and equities are still acting like it's no big deal. That disconnect is the whole show today, buddy.
Welcome to Investment Flash. It's Tuesday, September 1st, New York edition. I'm Marie with Tom and Gerald, and we're breaking down a tape that can't decide if it's scared.
And Gerald, your Japan 10-year yield call from yesterday, 3% reflation trade, that was prescient. But today, crude is taking the baton.
Yeah, look, Japan's yield broke 3, but now I'm staring at oil above 90 on 2 tanker reports out of Hormuz. The easy part of that trade is already done, Tom.
No way, buddy. The crude oil ETF was up 3.1% last session and 6% over the past week. Momentum above 90 is real.
Hold on. 3.1% is a headline move, not a structural flow. If Hormuz de-escalates, that 90 line breaks and the crowded long unwinds fast.
Analysts calling for 100 crude after it's already up 94% this year. That's basically a paid hobby.
Huh, fair enough.
But the energy sector ETF is still 1% below its 52-week high, so the producers haven't fully priced the move yet.
The room is the unwind risk, Tom. If tanker headlines fade, that 94% year-to-date gain in the crude fund is an air pocket, not a base.
Exactly. The energy ETF at 1% from high means most upside is already priced, not the bottom.
All right, fair point. I'm not chasing the crude fund. I'll watch the 90 line. And the other side of $90 oil, the airline fuel shock. Nikkei says Air China, China Eastern, China Southern are taking the biggest losses in Asian skies.
Shorting them is basically a leveraged oil trade. No new fundamental signal. I'd size it tiny, if at all.
But Gerald, no easy hedge, and Beijing hasn't signaled fuel subsidies yet. The margin squeeze is real, not just derivative.
That's why Air China is the cleanest short. It's the one explicitly flagged. China Eastern and China Southern are correlated, but not independent calls.
Fair enough. Watch for Beijing support that would cap the damage. That's the real risk to any short. Now, the bond side, Market Watch is asking if bond investors should worry with Warsh running the Fed. Spoiler, long-dated Treasury fund is already 2% above its 52-week low.
But Gerald, your bond doom loop returns. If Warsh is hawkish, intermediate Treasuries are at their low and going lower. That's not a buy signal.
See, this is what I mean. The narrative is aggressively bearish, but the positioning is crowded. FT's Warshology says his monetarism is opaque, so the dollar direction isn't even clear.
Honestly, I'd rather watch long-dated treasuries here than short fresh money. Wait for an auction or Fed speech to confirm the straight-line downside.
Yeah, okay, but if rates keep climbing, bond shorts print. I just wouldn't buy the long end either.
Right, so we're all watching, not shorting. That's the honest read.
Exactly.
Right. That's exactly why.
Then, on equities, Citadel and JP Morgan both turned cautious on near-term turbulence, but neither called the bull market over. The S&P 500 ETF is just 2% from its record.
Tom, the Dow dropped 370 points last session, and you're still 2% from highs. That's exactly the complacency that makes me nervous.
But the S&P and NASDAQ both closed August higher, and the NASDAQ 100 ETF is 4% below its high. Holding isn't complacency. De-risking would be overreacting to one session.
Fair point. But the volatility hedge is cheap. The volatility futures fund is 57% below its 52-week high. If there was ever a time to buy insurance, it's now.
Exactly. And gold's been weak, down 4.6% over the week. But as a safe haven bid with rates rising, it hasn't confirmed. I'd pair the volatility hedge with the S&P hold.
And as always, none of this is investment advice, but the fear trade being consensus is the real takeaway. Everyone's hedged, so the downside might not pay as much as people think.
Over to the UK, FT's markets team says rising borrowing costs are adding pressure on Burnham and Healey before the October budget. The UK gilt fund is sitting exactly at its 52-week low.
That's duration stress in action.
prices fall as yields climb. And Sterling's a secondary casualty if fiscal stress deepens.
Only Gerald could turn a budget scare into a gilt short. But to be fair, the UK Equities Fund is down 2.1% over the week, so it's already bleeding.
Now you're getting it, Tom. Single source coal, though. I want another UK fiscal headline before I pile into the pound short.
Right. Conviction stays low until we see the budget reaction, not just pre-budget nerves.
All right, the AI CapEx story is my favorite. WSJ's op-ed says companies must invest in AI, even without returns, just to avoid falling behind. That's a demand floor for chips.
And FT says the bond equity disconnect is really about how that AI boom is financed. Tom, when leverage is the tell, valuations don't matter until they do.
No, but that's exactly my point. If AI CapEx is bond funded, then the bond sell-off and equity resilience are one trade, not a contradiction. You can't call NVIDIA cheap without looking at funding costs.
NVIDIA's forward multiple is 14.4, and it's up nearly 17% year to date. That's defensible if financing stays cheap.
Defensible is not buy, Tom. The tech sector fund is 6% below its high and up 29% this year. Holding is fine. Chasing is not.
And the high yield credit fund sits just 2% below its high. If that cracks, the whole AI financing trade unwinds. That's the tell, not NVIDIA's price to earnings ratio.
All right. Hold the tech sector. Buy NVIDIA only if yields behave. Fair.
Crypto onshore. CoinDesk reports wallets tied to Lazarus Group sold over $30 million in Bitcoin on Hyperliquid over 3 weeks as Washington pushes to onshore the platform. The selling is tiny, but the regulatory shift is real.
And Coinbase bounced 5.3% last session, even though it's down 20.5% year to date. The onshoring tilt favors them.
So the bull case for Coinbase is that North Korean hackers are moving to US regulated venues. That's a weird way to say compliance wins.
That's one read. But honestly, the $30 million overhang is not material. The headline risk cuts both ways.
Exactly. Watch Bitcoin for escalation, but I'd keep the Coinbase position modest.
Quick hold note. Nikkei says Beijing is warning its EV makers against launching price wars abroad. That removes margin-destructive discounting, but caps export volume growth.
Which is why NIO, at a 52-week low, and XPeng down 44% this year, are holds, not longs. The policy has no enforcement teeth yet.
Right. BYD's export story could stall too. I'd wait for policy detail before touching any of them.
The most original take is FT Markets. The bond equity puzzle is not a valuation story. It's a financing story. The AI boom is leveraged, and the tell is who's lending, not the price-to-earnings ratio.
That actually clicks. If AI CapEx is bond funded, then the bond sell-off and equity resilience are the same trade. The credit spread is the canary.
See, this is what I mean. But no one is connecting oil above 90 to Chinese demand destruction. Nikkei reports Beijing warning EV makers and airlines fleeing from fuel, yet no Western piece ties that to the next China data print or asks about subsidies.
Right, and that's the second order trade. If oil stays above 90, you don't buy more crude, you short the downstream consumers nobody is priced in.
Exactly.
That's the whole story.
And the tape is positioned for fear. Volatility futures are 57% below high. Bond shorts are late, but the equity leg hasn't paid up yet.
Okay, but the bear case is that if the press is already this bearish, the signal fades. The volatility futures fund at 0% above its low means anyone who wanted a hedge has one.
And oil is the clearest unwind candidate. If Hormuz de-escalates, the crude fund's 94% year-to-date gain is an air pocket.
So the bearish thesis needs a sustained oil supply loss or a genuine Fed hike, not just one tanker report. We're watching the 90 line and credit spreads.
And the next episode is tomorrow's London edition at 7:30 a.m. London time. But before we go, Tom's got the sign-off.
If you're just finding us, hit follow on Spotify or check investmentflash.com for the full digest with charts and sources. I'm Tom.
I'm Gerald.
And I'm Marie. We'll see you tomorrow.